This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gunna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekness starts in 3, 2, 1.
If you're not a fan of The Walking Dead, now might be a good time to change the channel. Bringing you the latest news, talk, and opinions on all things The Walking Dead. Featuring a fan panel discussing the television show, comics, and more, our cast brings you a 30-minute podcast you can really sink your teeth into. The opinions and subject matter of this program may not reflect any advertiser or sponsor. We assume our listeners have already watched the latest episodes and read the latest comics, so please consider this your spoiler alert. And if we haven't already bored you to death, let's start walking The Walking Dead. This is WTWD. Radio Free Woodbury.
That's right. Welcome back to yet another edition of the Walking the Walking Dead podcast. This is the WTWD Radio Free Woodbury. This is home to all things The Walking Dead. This is the only podcast that matters if you're looking for Walking Dead content. My name is Stephen Jondrew, and joined with me today is the one and only Chris Farrell. How's it going, Chris?
Not bad, not bad. How are you doing today?
I am excellent now that I'm podcasting with you, right?
That's what you say now, waiting out 20 minutes down the road and you get all your edit points from me.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sure I've edited far, far much more before. And I'm sure I've gotten much more flack for it before, too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, tonight Steve Boyd cannot be with us. He is over dealing with awesomeness that is launching for his main work, which is comiccollectorlive.com. I believe that's what he's doing. I know they've got a retail store coming up pretty soon, so that's kind of cool. That's kind of neat if you like comics and stuff and you live in the, I think it's Hendersonville area. Let's say that.
So what you're saying is if we paid him, he'd be here.
We all get paid millions and millions of dollars, right, Chris?
They're those imaginary like simoleons.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say it's Monopoly so, money. Monopoly
that works
money.
Too. I'm the richest Monopoly guy you'll ever meet, man. You don't ever want to play me.
Oh, that's funny. Hey, by the way, that I guess that brings us to a good point. You're the only one that's done every episode of WTWD Radio Free Woodbury, aren't you?
God, that's scary, isn't it? I better take a show off soon.
Oh, I will make you. I need to.
I'm going to bed then. Bye.
Well, this is the Stephen Jondrew Walking Dead podcast hour.
We need some smooth jazz in the background while you do that.
Oh, now listeners of the show will go, what? What? It hasn't been 2 weeks. You guys said see you in 2 weeks at the end of the show. Well, that's why you never change your sign out. That's right. What has happened is we saw the season 4 trailer that came out for The Walking Dead, AMC The Walking Dead, that was released this past weekend at the San Diego Comic-Con. And of course, we had to talk about it. We said we can't wait 2 weeks, so we'll probably be another 2 weeks from this podcast, but we had to come back this week just to talk about it. And I'm sure you'll hear a little bit more about it next show too when Steve's back, but this is going to be the meat and potatoes of the trailer, right, Chris?
I think so.
Wow, that was
now I'm hungry. You said meat and potatoes, and all I was thinking was like a big T-bone steak for some reason, which is probably the wrong thing to think right before a zombie show.
Meat and potatoes brings you to steak. That's odd. Well, let's just go ahead and talk about the trailer. Should we do that?
We'll do it.
For those of you which have not actually had the chance yet to see the trailer, head to walkingthewalkingdead.com. You can see a link in the episode 16 notes, or just find the big link that's on the homepage that says season 4 trailer and watch it. We're gonna let you pause here for a second. We're gonna keep going, but there is the pause button. So feel free to pause right now, watch it, and then you're gonna be into all the awesome goodness and understand what we're talking about. Now, with that said, before we dive into it, I just want to take a moment here to comment on how cool AMC is. You may have heard us last show say, you're going to be scouring the internet everywhere for this trailer. Well, AMC said, screw that. we're just going to go and post it on our YouTube channel. So how cool was that, Chris Farrell?
It's like they heard us talk about it the week before and decided just to spite us to make it easy to find. And hey, you guys can spite us like that anytime you want. It was great because I was following the panel on Twitter. And within minutes of people saying, oh my God, there's a trailer on, AMC tweeted out the link to the trailer they were showing off. So it was fantastic for people that couldn't actually be at San Diego Comic-Con.
As you know, I carry a lot of weight, so you can personally thank me for that trailer.
That is part of the Steven Johnger experience.
So I just wanted to give a shout out to AMC for that. That is really cool. Now, talking about the trailer itself, Chris, do you want to give a little bit of a rundown about the trailer?
Man, there's all sorts of stuff going on in this trailer. Basically, it opens up with our heroes, for lack of a better term, trying to break into a Big Lots and clear it of zombies to steal supplies. I think it's called like Big Spot or something like that instead. Because they couldn't use the actual name. But it's kind of a chuckle-worthy moment as they get up there and Daryl knocks on the window and you see zombies come up and he goes, wait for it. He goes, that's not all of them. And then they kill a bunch of the zombies. And I got to say, when they go and storm the store, they look like a bunch of old pros. They're making all these plans for how to do it. They're wearing SWAT team equipment. It's pretty cool. And it kind of goes to show how much Rick's crew has become the zombie-killing experts of their little group.
And I love the way they open it. You hear the knock before you see the audio.
Yep.
You hear the knock before you see the visual, I should say.
I knew what you meant.
But yeah, that was the first thing I took from it. And it's like a 4-minute trailer, I think. Or is it 7?
Yeah, and it's about 4.5 minutes, and it cuts between all sorts of different points that come up, and it gives us a lot of hints of things that are going to come, but it certainly makes it look like we'll be much more character-focused versus a big bad out there somewhere.
Yeah,
that is the primary focus of everything, like last season with the governor.
And it starts off, actually, it's a really well put together trailer. The first half of it is really action. Like Chris said, you go from them knocking on a big spot to going and beating a bunch of zombies. And then about halfway through, the music changes, everything changes, and it gets a very dramatic undertone. It's mostly narrated by Herschel. Herschel's given a strong, powerful speech about, you know, why are we doing this? He's like, you take water, you look for water, you risk your life. What are you risking it for? Things like that. And it's over the course of about 2 minutes, a very emotional Herschel. And at the very end, we can see how emotional he is. Now, getting a little bit into conspiracy theory, and we're going to jump around through this trailer, but I'm going to have a bit of a conspiracy theory here. That is in a direct response to Beth dying.
I could see that because we barely ever see her in the trailer, if at all, if I can remember.
Yeah, we see her a few times, but
they need something to further push Carl into being badass Carl or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's a reason why he's so powerful. That's the first thing. He was about two lines into his little speech, and I'm like, why is he having this great moment? This great I am telling you how things are. Our attitude. There's got to be a reason for it. And then when you go back and you watch it a second time, you see a very distraught Maggie at one point too.
Right. And part of me was also thinking maybe this is an indication now that Herschel is more the leader of the group than Rick, where he's maybe, for lack of a better term, the mayor of their little city.
That's a good take.
Because if you go back and look at things in the past, Rick deferred to Herschel a lot back in season 2 when they were on his land. And then Rick decided in the beginning of season 3, we all know that it was going to be the Ricktatorship, as we called it. But even then, Rick was deferring to Herschel a good deal. And we saw Rick give back the reins of power to everyone, but maybe Herschel, as the wise old man of the group, is the maybe political leader of them. It's probably not political, but he's helping to lead the group and guide them.
I can see that, and I think he quite nicely established the father figure role to the group last season, Herschel. But
true.
I think he's probably taken it to another level. And you know, I really, really mutilated his speech, but it's a good speech, and there's got to be a reason why. And I want to make another sort of conspiracy here, another theory, and I'll let you talk in a minute. But we also see a point where Tyrese is actually quite distraught and whatnot. And I have a feeling that his sister dies because he also sort of goes bat well, you know what, crazy, and on a group of walkers, and you
can goes Batman.
Yeah, he goes Batman on a group of walkers, and you can see that something has broken him up horribly, and he's been beat up at some point. Something's happened. I think that his sister dies as well.
I think that's possible. There's evidently something that happens to him, because as we see near the end of the trailer, there's that scene where the car gets swarmed by walkers, and you've got Daryl in there, and you've got Tyrese, and holy crap, I can't remember the other folks are in the car now. All of a sudden, one of them is our new character, but everyone piles out of the car real fast, and you see Tyrese just kind of sit in the car with this look on his face like, oh, this again, like he just doesn't really care, and then he runs out of the car and goes right into the heart of a swarm of walkers and starts wailing on him with a hammer like he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So I think something's happened to him that makes him feel he has nothing to lose, and the death of his sister could very well be that, and that would explain why she's not in that scene, because the opening of the trailer makes it seem as though she's an integral part of their search team or whatever, because she's coordinating everything as they break into the big lots.
And I want to throw another thing in here to do with that. The trailer starts right up and he's getting bossed around by his sister. And he says, was there ever a time that you weren't in charge of me? To which she responds, well, is that what he says? No, how's that say? Was there
where you weren't telling me what to do or something
exactly.
like that? I can't remember the exact context.
And exactly. And then she says, well, there was a few years before you were born or something like that.
Yep.
And so I think that that's sort of an indication that he has lived his life under her guidance sort of thing. And now he's going to be on his own without it.
I think that's the very foreshadow. Least, she's been one of those constants in his life even before the zombie apocalypse. And losing that before the apocalypse probably would have damaged him greatly, but to lose really his only tie to his old life during this apocalypse is probably shattering.
I have a few other things that I want to theorize about in a bit, but I'm going to throw it to you. What do you want to talk about next?
I called it really early on when I miswatched an episode of Herschel Got a Leg. There was an episode, oh God, it was near the end of season 3, where I thought Herschel had given a prosthetic leg when he was sitting in the car during the Rick and Governor meetup, and you guys are like, no, he didn't get a leg. I just called it real early by accident. He's got an artificial leg now, it looks like.
Oh, I didn't even notice that, really?
Yeah, he's walking around on an artificial leg. He doesn't have his crutches anymore, so I bet the actor's happy that he doesn't have to hobble around anymore.
Well, that's got to happen some point into the series, because I know we've seen a green screen leg. They might still they might CGI his pig leg. That's probably easier than making him hobble on a pig leg, because he's an older actor. So yeah, never mind. Like,
it looked like just the regular shape of a leg or whatnot underneath jeans and stuff like that. So who knows what kind of prosthetic or peg leg it is underneath. Mm-hmm. But from the author, not author, the actor's point of view, they're probably really happy.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. But
one of the things I wanted to touch on is that they keep referencing, man, if Woodbury was still in one piece, this wouldn't be happening, because you start seeing that the walkers are starting to overrun the prison gradually. Despite all the new clever tricks they've taken, much from what we saw in Clear, how to keep zombies and walkers away. But something has happened to Woodbury, and we don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And we know at the end of season 3 that they just basically abandoned it. But something else must have happened. Either it got burned to the ground, or it got just overrun, where it doesn't become a viable place for the prison group to fall back to.
Or...
conspiracy theory?
Conspiracy theory. These events that we've seen happen within the first few shows, and then somehow they migrate to Woodbury for a bit, leading to the spoiler fire that we've seen later on the facade of the town hall, which happens much later in the series, and that will, or the season, and that will lead them to abandoning and moving on for season 5.
That could be also.
Because to me, I feel like they just kind of got up and went to the prison because it was fortified and they don't have enough people to fortify Woodbury, right? At the end of season 3, they just decided it was safer to go to the prison. And to me, I think that, you know, there will be a point where they go back, because they're talking in there about at some point we get up and we go, some point we got to leave. And I think that they get up and they leave and they go to Woodbury. Something happens, probably with the governor there.
That's exactly what I was thinking. The governor burns it down.
And then it burns down. Like, and then that leads to season 5 at some point of them being
right
on the road.
And one of the things they've hinted at as to why they're having such an issue with the walkers now is that somebody's been feeding them through the fence, we find out partway through this trailer.
That's true. It
looks like rat corpses or something like that. So there is a traitor in there, and this it's presumed that this traitor is also one of the ones that opens up the prison and allows some of the walker horde to get in and actually kill people. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a piece where there is a traitor of some kind, be it they're loyal to the governor or they're insane or something like that, were there against Rick's group. And there's a cool moment I saw in that trailer where you see Rick squatting down the ground and picking what looks like evidence or stuff up off the ground. And he's almost getting in touch with his past cop life, it looked like, trying to find evidence of who might have let people into the prison or who was their traitor or something like that.
Yeah, I actually, I didn't pick up on that, but you got me getting goosebumps right now thinking about that, because I know exactly the part you're talking about. And thinking about that context, that's true. That's awesome.
It's very cool to see him try to get in touch with his roots as old Rick versus Rick who's lost everything, and mm-hmm. makes you wonder if he's able to get in touch with that part of himself that part of himself from before the apocalypse, if that still exists.
Now, talking a little bit here about another random point that I'm going to pick out of this trailer. Unless they're folks who are in charge of continuity and whatnot have dropped the ball, looks like we're about 6 months post season 3. Now, there's a few indications of that. The first, the most obvious, is the baby looks like it's 6 months old. Like, it looks like it doesn't look much older than 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, but Carl looks like he's aged 2 years.
That's true. But a baby is a great way to show time, right? Right? If you wanted something longer, you know, that's a great time. Switch out the actor to child actor that's a year old, right? Okay, so that's a really simple way to do it. Second thing is, there's not too much change in what we see within the prison, but we see enough that it looks like they've had some time to really clean up and whatnot. There's a scene where they're actually in a library or something. And I think that there's really some indications that they've cleaned up the prison. And it was in some pretty rough shape that we had seen last season, you know, even from just the basic scene going down to the basement and whatnot that we had earlier on in season 3. So I think that there's probably been a decent amount of time where the residents and whatnot have cleaned it up. So if they go much more than 6 months in change, then I think that they screwed up with the baby casting.
Well, and back to your point on cleaning up the prison, they've actually got the manpower to do that and actually patrol the outer yard too, with all the people mm-hmm. they brought in from Woodbury. And if you remember back in the comics, that was one of the first things they did there, was clean up the prison when they had the chance to try and turn it into a home.
Kind
of seems to echo what occurred there.
Now, they're at the very end of the trailer, there's a little something that comes on, and I know you wanted to talk about that. Why don't you tell the listeners what that is?
We get a scene where you see who all's in the car? You've got Daryl, you've got Tyrese, the new character,
Michonne
that are sitting in a car, and you hear the radio crackle for a second. And there's a voice that comes on the radio promising sanctuary to all that can hear it, blah, 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 blah. And that's how they leave the trailer, is that there's a voice on the radio saying, "We can save you," after having had this whole trailer go through, that the prison's about to fall, things are really dire. There's this hope out there that there's a promised land they can go to that's safe. Do you buy that there's sanctuary out there, Steven? Because I think it's a trap. I think it's the governor's trap.
I think it could be a trap, yeah. The other thing that it might be is a pre-recorded message, and it'll go nowhere, like the episode clear.
Here comes another one-star review. But I don't know. Honestly, I think if it's not the governor doing the trap, it's someone else who will want to steal supplies or things like that from them. Because you would think if you're going to relocate your whole camp, you take all your supplies with you. So it's easy to pillage. Or if we want to go real crazy, maybe they're going somewhere from the comics and they're taking like one of the safe houses they find in the comics, and they're making that an actual sanctuary. What's the one on the top of the hilltop? Is what it's hilltop?
The hilltop. Exactly.
Maybe it's the hilltop. I don't know. I'm just throwing wild theories up on the wall.
To Negan and the governor working together.
Wow, that'd be interesting, actually.
Oh, they would kill each other.
Well, they've made a point of doing everything that the comic book readers don't expect with this TV show at this mm-hmm. point. So God only knows what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. What else did you want to bring up about the trailer there?
Now, is it just me, or is there a distinct lack of Carl in this trailer? He's on screen for a few seconds here and there, but he doesn't really get to talk ever.
That's a good point. He's there. The most that we really get is there's a guy who's sitting there at a tree, and that leads me to think, have we looked at that? Is that Carl going back to the guy that they chained up?
Either that, or it's the guy that he shot in the woods when the prison was attacked that he didn't need to, is what I was thinking. But I don't know. I can't really tell looking at the zombie.
It's a guy. I might have to go back and look and see if there's a chain on that. Because it's a guy at the base of a tree, and he looks like he can't really go anywhere. And I don't know if it's supposed to allude to, like, is Carl going to put him down? Is he going to let him live? Is it a change in the Carl craziness? Like, what is it? I don't know.
I don't think Carl's going to hesitate to put down a walker, mm-hmm. considering he put down people.
He might flashback. Maybe it's the Swamp Walker, and he's going to go and he's going to say, oh, it's the Swamp Walker. You and I go way back. And
he's going to get revenge for Dale. This one's for Dale. Bang, exactly. Bang, bang.
No, I don't know. I you're right. There's not a lot of Carl, though. So that's a good question. Why is there not a lot of Carl?
I don't know. Maybe it's just because that's the thing that they figured people would be least interested going into this season, because everyone has their preconceived notions already of what's going to happen.
Or simpler, his scenes haven't been filmed yet.
That very well could be too. Some of the stuff we can't try and analyze too much, because like you said, it could be something just as simple that they haven't filmed a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I mean, they've only been back on set, what, a few weeks now?
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? For only being a few weeks, this trailer is impressive. And you know, that's one of the reasons why I have a feeling this might happen a lot sooner. And I kind of mentioned, brushed over it earlier, but I don't know. What's your take? I think this is going to be a first few episodes thing. And, you know, like, no more than the first half of the season, all of this stuff will have happened. Because Walking Dead do not usually lay it all on the line. And they put a lot out here as a preview. I think that it's not going to take too many episodes till all of this footage is seen, and maybe they go to Woodbury.
I think you're probably right. I think somewhere around episode, well, there's 16 episodes this season. Somewhere before episode 8, they'll go to Woodbury, or something will happen there, and they might end up having to go back to the prison because it's burnt down. Who knows? But
now, of course, the last time you and I did a podcast together, we got lots of hate mail on iTunes, so maybe we'll get hate mail for this too.
No, you got lots of hate mail. I was decidedly undecided.
That's true. Oh, and one little thing, because we're almost harped enough on the trailer, ripped it to shreds and speculated. I thought really cool, you know, as much as I knocked the episode, I did like the fact that they took a little bit of the defense tactics from Morgan that we saw, the little sticks and spears that are cross-woven and whatnot. They got those around the prison. Awesome. Good to see a throwback to something that they found in season 3.
Yeah, I think so.
That's all you're going to chime in on that after your beloved Clear episode?
No, it's Steve Boyd's beloved Clear. I just think it's okay, remember? So you guys can give us a 3-star review because I think it's okay and Steven hates it. So that averages out.
Exactly. There you go. I said it's okay. I said it's okay after my rewatch. So and one last thing that I want to throw in here. This new character, I forget what his name is. We talked about it last week. I have a feeling he's not as good as we think. He is too well dressed. You know, we kind of poked fun at how well he was dressed in the first in last week's episode, in the first still that we saw. But there's a lot of footage in here, and he's pretty pristine through all of it. So I think that it's one of those production, let's make him look like a homely guy, whatever you want to call it, little nice dressed man. And meanwhile, that's going to throw off the viewers that he's actually.
But you see, I think it makes it almost too obvious if you make the new guy the traitor also.
But there's more than a new guy, right? Like, really, Tyrese and his sister.
Yeah, but you got to remember from the interviews we read and talked about with this character's Bob Stuckey. I had to go and pull the notes. Is that he's only shown up about a week before this season starts. Everyone else has been there, whatever this long time jump is. So he's only been with them a week. So I think it's almost too obvious for them to make him the traitor because he's been there the short least time, and he'll probably get accused of it because of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's not as good as we think. I think he's cast too nice. Like, he looks like a nice guy, just like his smile and every way he carries himself. I think he's too nice to not have some dark secret.
I understand what you're saying, but I think that's what they want us to think.
So it's a double reversal. It's like we're going to play the old card of dressing him opposite to what we want you to think, but then we're going to go opposite to that.
I think it could be something like that. I just think it's with this show, they never go the obvious route on things. So I just, that's why I think that it's too obvious to make him be the traitor.
Unless it's the season three finale, then that's pretty much obvious.
I could be eating crow 6 months from now when Steven's going to come on here and be like, oh, you said this Bob Stuckey guy was not going to be the bad guy. He was. And I'm going to be like, I'm sorry, Steven. I'll eat my crow. Please serve it up.
Or it'll be iTunes reviewers who are giving you crap. One of the two. So anything you want to throw in on the trailer here before we wrap up our episode 16?
I think it did exactly what it needed to do, is get people excited for the next season of Walking Dead, because there were some people that their interest had tapered off near the end. There's some people that were angry with the season finale and said, oh, I'm done with this show, and hopefully seeing this brings them back to it. Yeah. And again, I'll give Barry McCreary credit, because I do on pretty much any podcast that I am a part of. His score for the trailer is awesome.
Absolutely. I agree with you 110% on that.
He has a great ability to basically just use music to convey emotion. I mean, not granted that's what it's supposed to do, but he just finds these odd ways to cue it in and make things resonate with you, and this trailer does.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Really, check it out if you didn't take the moment to pause it earlier, because you just needed to hear our voices and you needed to hear your Steven, John Drew, and Chris Farrell fix. We're going to wrap up in a minute afterwards. Go to walkingthewalkingdead.com and watch the trailer. It is very important you do that, and you will be very, very, very excited for this.
If you watch the trailer, you will realize that we weren't rambling as much as it seemed like at first, because it really is just mixed in there different scenes, so You just have to jump all over.
And really, like, they put a lot of content in it, so well done, AMC. I give you a official Steven John Drew kudos. Good job.
Ooh, is there M&Ms in this kudos?
Of course there is.
Sweet.
So before we wrap up, I want to give us all, and by us all, I mean you and I, a moment to plug or shout out whatever we would like. So why don't you start there, Chris Farrell?
I'll just go with my typical shout out. Make sure you guys go check out gunnageek.com/network and check out all the awesome shows that are on the network. And that's semi-self-serving because I'm on a lot of them.
Including the official gunnageek.com podcast.
Exactly.
The other thing that I want to give a shout out here to is please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/walkingthewalkingdead. Tweet us at Walker Talkers. If you have a suggestion for a future show, please feel free to email walkers@walkingthewalkingdead.com. And better yet, leave a voicemail, because we would love to play your voicemail on the show. That's right. That's your 30 seconds of fame at 567-246-WTWD. That's 567-246-9893. That would be much, much appreciated. And we look forward to hearing from you. All right. So barring unforeseen circumstances of awesomeness, we will see you in another couple weeks. So for Walking the Walking Dead's WTWD Radio Free Woodbury, my name is Stephen John Drew.
And sadly, I am not Steve Boyd.
Bye.
You've been listening to WTWD's Radio Free Woodbury. From all of us here at Walking the Walking Dead, thanks for listening. To check out other Walking Dead news, episode guides, collection information, interviews, and other exclusives, stop by walkingthewalkingdead.com. Find us on Twitter at Walker Talkers and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/walkingthewalkingdead. If you have comments or suggestions for a future show, email walkers@walkingthewalkingdead.com. I'm Steve Boyd, a.k.a. The Governor. We'll see you next week if you stay alive.